Well, good morning again. This morning we're beginning a series of messages focusing on the stories of Jesus. Jesus was a storyteller, and we call Jesus' stories parables. Just a common, easy-to-remember description of parables. A parable is an earthly story with a heavenly meaning. And the theme of Jesus' parables, the larger theme, is the kingdom of God, the kingdom of heaven. And this morning we're going to consider a parable which teaches us some surprising lessons about the kingdom of heaven. And if you want to go ahead and open your Bibles this morning to Matthew 13, Matthew chapter 13, or open up on your phones, we're going to look specifically at verses 24 through 30 and 36 through 39. Matthew 13, 24 through 30, 36 through 39. Matthew's the first book in the New Testament, and we'll be in chapter 13. Beginning with verse 24. Jesus told them another parable. The kingdom of heaven is like a man who sowed good seed in his field. But while everyone was sleeping, his enemy came and sowed weeds among the wheat and went away. When the wheat sprouted and formed heads, then the weeds also appeared. The owner's servants came to him and said, "Sir, didn't you sow good seed in your field? Where then did the weeds come from?" "An enemy did this," he replied. And the servants asked him, "Do you want us to go and pull them up?" "No," he answered, "because while you are pulling the weeds, you may uproot the wheat with them. Let both grow together until the harvest. And at that time, I will tell the harvesters, 'First collect the weeds and tie them in bundles to be burned, then gather the wheat and bring it into my barn.'" Flipping down to verse 36. Then he left the crowd and went into the house. His disciples came to him and said, "Explain to us the parable of the weeds in the field." And he answered, "The one who sowed the good seed is the Son of Man. The field is the word, the world, and the good seed stands for the people of the kingdom. The weeds are the people of the evil one, and the enemy who sows them is the devil. The harvest is the end of the age, and the harvesters are angels." There was an elderly man who had very serious hearing problems for many years, and his family just tried to convince him to go and see a doctor, but he resisted. He finally relented. He went to a doctor. He was fitted with hearing aids, and the hearing aids were effective. They allowed him to hear 100%. A month later, he had to go back for a follow-up appointment with the doctor. And the doctor said to him, your hearing is perfect. Your family must be so pleased with the progress that you're making." And the man said, I haven't told my family yet. I just sit around and listen to their conversations. I've changed my will 3 times. So how's your hearing today? How's your hearing today? You know, Jesus was very concerned about our ability to hear, and so often at the end of his parables, he would say something like this: "Whoever has ears to hear, let him hear," or "let them hear." Of course, all of us have ears on the sides of our heads, big and small, but Jesus isn't referring to that kind of hearing. Rather, when Jesus says that, this strange saying, it has a way of what he's kind of getting at. He's asking, are you paying attention? Are you listening? Really listening? This morning, Jesus wants us to pay attention to his teaching about the nature of the kingdom of God. In Jesus' world, the idea of a kingdom brought to mind luxurious palaces, powerful militaries, a treasury filled with gold, an expanding empire. Perhaps these images come to our mind as well. But Jesus understood the kingdom in a different way. And so when he taught about the kingdom, he never mentioned anything about throne rooms or large armies. Instead, Jesus described his kingdom in terms of compassion for others, sacrifice, taking up the cross, love for our enemies. When Jesus taught about the kingdom of heaven, he told stories. Stories about a treasure in a field, a valuable pearl being discovered, and a little bit of yeast mixed in with some flour. Jesus shared that he came to begin and not finish God's kingdom. God's kingdom is less like an earthly kingdom, an empire, and it's more like a movement or a revolution in the hearts of God's people, in the hearts of Christians. The kingdom refers to God's growing reign and influence in the lives of his people. And Jesus explained that God's kingdom grows slowly, patiently, subtly. Often it's out of the spotlight and it's under the radar. God's kingdom mission began with Jesus' earthly ministry, and it continues today, but this mission is not complete. This is why Jesus taught us to pray in the Lord's Prayer, "Our Father in heaven, hallowed be your name, your kingdom come, your will be done on earth as it is in heaven." And so God's kingdom hasn't fully arrived yet. His will is not being done on earth as it is in heaven at this point. So we should think of the kingdom of heaven as arriving in stages. It began with Jesus' earthly ministry. It continues today in the lives of Christians and in the work of the church. And it will conclude someday in the future when Jesus returns in power. But maybe you're thinking to yourself, why? Why? Why does God delay the full arrival of his kingdom, his power, his authority, his rule? Why doesn't God just conclude the world as we know it, and finally end all of the suffering and the evil that plague our world? I don't know about you, but I've been thinking a lot to myself these days that I'm tired of all the evil and the pain and the violence and the abuse and the injustice and the brokenness and the idolatry and the darkness that has been cast over our world. And so I think to myself, get on with it, God. Bring your kingdom in fullness. Have you ever prayed that way before, felt that way? Have you ever wondered why God allows evil and suffering to continue? Why he is slow to bring his kingdom in power? Have you ever secretly desired that evildoers would just get what's coming to them? Have you prayed for God's kingdom to come? If so, then Jesus invites us to consider a story about a farmer who plants wheat in a field. In Matthew 13, 24, Jesus shares that the kingdom of heaven is like a farmer who plants good, healthy seeds of wheat in a field. But while everyone is sleeping, we're told that an enemy comes and sows in the field weeds. Now, this act of sabotage would hurt the farmer's wheat harvest. It would choke growth, it would steal nutrients, it would place deadly toxins into the soil. And scholars will tell us that this plant was likely darnel, a poisonous plant that in the early stages of growth looks identical to wheat. It would not be until much later, as the plants are growing in full growth, that these two different plants could be distinguished from one another. Many months pass, and it becomes clear that an adversary has done this, has undermined and tried to destroy the farmer's crop. And so the farmer's servants are angry, and their immediate reaction is one to pull up the weeds from the field. But the experienced farmer knows better. He knows that the roots of the weed and the weeds would all be intertwined, and so to pull one would hurt the other. Instead of prematurely weeding the field, the farmer's plan is to just wait patiently for the harvest. And at the harvest, the two plants would be collected, and the wheat would be brought into the barn, and the weeds would be collected and burned for fuel. And so Jesus compares the kingdom of heaven to this unusual agricultural story. So what does this earthly story teach us about the kingdom of God? Now, there are a couple of parables where Jesus actually interprets the parable for us, and fortunately, the parable of the wheat and weeds is one of them. And so Jesus shares with his disciples about the meaning of the parable in verses 37 through 39. The farmer is Jesus. The field is the world. The good seed is the people of God. The enemy is the devil. The weeds represent people who are influenced by Satan to do evil. And the harvest represents the end of the world, the day of Christ's final coming, the day of judgment, the day of eternal separation. Now let's try to make sense of Jesus' parable thus far and try to understand what it might say to us. If the harvest represents judgment day at the end of time as we know it, then the period of growth, the period of both wheat and weeds growing side by side, represents our world today. It's the time between the first and the final coming of Christ. So what does this odd nature story, this common everyday story, teach us about the nature of the kingdom of God? A kingdom that Jesus said is filled with both wheat and weeds. Let me just share four brief lessons with you. First, despite appearances, God's kingdom is growing and expanding like wheat in a field. At this point in history, God does not grow his kingdom with force. Rather, God chooses to gradually transform the lives of people through the power of Christ, his Holy Spirit, the gospel, and the work of mission of the church. A crop takes time to grow. And we understand that here, don't we, here in Park County. And we'll be seeing that here soon. Farmers will plant seed in the spring, but it'll be several months before those seeds begin to resemble a stalk of corn. However, by late summer, a stalk of corn might even be taller than me. Steve, where are you? It's no longer knee-high by July. It's like chin-high by July, isn't it? The kingdom of heaven, Jesus says, works the same way. In fact, between the parable and the interpretation of the parable, we have two small parables sandwiched between where Jesus talks to us about the kingdom of heaven. He says the kingdom of heaven, God's revolution in the hearts of people, is like a mustard seed and yeast in bread. A mustard seed was the smallest of seeds in ancient Palestine. However, over time, that little seed would grow to be a very large plant. And Jesus says, in a similar way, it takes just a little bit of yeast to transform a large amount of flour. God's kingdom started small, no more than 12 disciples. But today, millions of people confess Jesus as Lord. God's power continues to work and transform slowly the hearts of Christians all over the world. And sometimes it's easy to get discouraged as Christians. Sometimes we feel like Elijah on Mount Carmel, like we're the only faithful believers left. But Jesus tells us today, don't be discouraged. Remember how my kingdom works. My kingdom is moving and growing. Callous hearts are being softened. Seeds of faith are being planted. Baptisms are taking place. The church continues to meet and worship and teach and be faithful to the Great Commission. Christians continue to love and forgive and serve one another. We should take heart, because maybe we don't feel like it, but Jesus says the wheat is continuing to grow all around us. Consider a second lesson. Like the growth of God's kingdom, evil is also on the rise today. Jesus' story confirms our suspicion. In our experience, the world is becoming increasingly evil. People are selfish. Crime is rampant. Immorality is celebrated while righteousness is mocked. It's hard to know who to trust anymore. Marriages and families are hurting. Entertainment is filled with sex and violence and no moral value at all. There is darkness over our society. People do what is right in their own eyes. And we ask why. And Jesus says that one reason why evil is on the rise is because of an enemy. That God's enemy is busy planting weeds in the lives of people and in the world. The enemy, the evil one, is the devil, Satan, the prince of this world, the father of lies, the great adversary of God. Jesus teaches that Satan's influence is real and he has power in this world to destroy our lives. Well, how does Satan influence us? Well, honestly, Satan is pretty, I think, pretty subtle. He doesn't overwhelm us. He doesn't aggressively attack us. Rather, Satan just looks for a little opening of soil in our hearts, and he plants a weed. He plants a weed of temptation or greed or hate or pride or ambition or apathy, lust or anger. And if we're not careful, these weeds can begin to grow and eventually strangle us, the kind of the wheat is, that God is trying to grow in our lives. It reminds me of what Paul says in Ephesians 4. He says, in your anger, do not sin. Do not give the devil a foothold. We view pornography, and the devil begins to sow a poisonous seed. We play video games filled with graphic violence, and the weed is planted. We go to a bar, and the seed begins to crack open. We hold on to a grudge without forgiving, and a weed takes root. We flirt with someone who isn't our spouse, and the weed continues to grow. We lie to a family member, and the weed is completely dried up. Satan uses a foothold, a tiny opening in the soil of the field to plant a weed filled with destructive toxins. The rise of evil, Jesus says, is a result of the enemy's sabotage. Now, the Bible is very honest, I think. And it tells us that we live in a good world, but it's a fallen world. A world where God is both worshipped and resisted. A world where many people follow Jesus, but countless of others fall under the spell of the evil one. A world that is filled with both good and evil, darkness and light. A world that is haunted by Eden and yet threatened by hell. In short, Jesus says, we live in a world of both wheat and weeds. This leads to the third lesson. During this time of both wheat and weeds, God is patient. At this present time, God is patiently allowing his kingdom to grow. Now, the farmer's servants are eager to pull the weeds and to burn them. But the farmer knows better, it's too soon. If you pull those weeds, you're going to also damage the wheat in the process. Instead, the farmer chooses to be patient for the harvest because he knows if he does, then the harvest is going to be bountiful. And so the farmer places all of his hope in having a large harvest. The parable of the wheat and the weeds, I think, it's really been helpful to me over the years. I think it answers some of our most challenging questions. Why does God tolerate evil and suffering? Why doesn't God just end the world and punish evildoers and establish his kingdom in power and glory? Why does God wait? And I think the parable provides us with at least one answer. God is like a farmer, and he is patient. He is patient. God's patience means more time for the seeds of faith to take root in people's lives and for countless more souls to be saved from the coming harvest. Put simply, God's patience means salvation for more people. Yes, that means that God's strategy will require that weeds are also allowed to grow. People will continue to reject God, deciding instead to go along with evil. However, God's strategy of long-suffering also means that wheat will continue to grow in the field. People will believe the gospel of Christ and become true children of the kingdom. And so God apparently postpones judgment day so that more and more people can be saved. The Bible tells us very plainly that God's patience means salvation. And so if you haven't surrendered to Christ, well, then God is being patient with you. 2 Peter 3:9, the passage I read earlier today, the Lord is not slow in keeping his promise, as some understand slowness. He is patient with you, not wanting anyone to perish, but everyone to come to repentance. God is patient like a farmer who is patient waiting for his crop to grow. Let me close with just one final lesson. God is patient, but he will not be patient forever. He won't be patient forever. The harvest day is coming. In fact, Jesus describes the harvest in Matthew 13, 40 through 43. I'll read those verses now. Matthew 13, 40 through 43. As the weeds are pulled up and burned in the fire, so it will be at the end of the age. The Son of Man will send out his angels, and they will weed out the kingdom, everything that causes sin and all who do evil. They will throw them into the blazing furnace where there will be weeping and gnashing of teeth. Then the righteous will shine like the sun in the kingdom of their Father. Whoever has ears, let him hear. At this point in history, the kingdom of heaven is growing slowly. It's expanding in some ways, we might say, under the radar. But Jesus says that one day God's kingdom will arrive in power, and it will no longer be hidden from us. Rather, God's kingdom will arrive in glory and fullness. And at that time, the field of the world as we know it will end. And on that dreadful and wonderful day, the farmer will come and he'll harvest his crops, and God will judge the world and he'll establish eternal life. And Jesus describes this end, this time, this harvest, in verses 40 through 42 of our story. Jesus will arrive a second time, but this time not as a baby in a manger, but as a divine king and warrior in power. And in that time, Jesus and his angels will weed the field. Sin and death and suffering and pain and evil. And the enemy himself will be weeded and collected and destroyed. And on that harvest day, God will separate the wheat from the weeds, the people of the kingdom and the people of the evil one. The children of the enemy will be cast into hell, Jesus says, a place of regret, weeping and gnashing of teeth. But the sons and the daughters of the kingdom, those who accepted Christ and patiently allowed the wheat to grow, will be welcomed into God's final dwelling, the new heaven and the new earth. And on that day, Jesus says, God's children will stand in the presence of the farmer, and they will shine like the sun in heaven forever and ever. And on that great day, God's will finally be done on earth as it is in heaven. And so the big question is, what will that day be like for you? What will that day be like for you? Will we be among the wheat or the weeds? And our answer to these eternal questions depends on how we respond to Jesus today. And so Jesus asks, are you listening? Really listening? Do you have ears to hear? Let's pray. Father, we worship you today, and we come before you, and we just open up our lives to you. I pray, God, that we could take this parable to heart. God, we thank you for your patience with us. Boy, we sure need it. I need it, God. Thank you for that patience. Because we know your patience is grace, your patience is love, your patience is salvation. Father, I pray that you would work in our hearts. Father, if there are some weeds that are maybe getting a bit of a stronghold, I pray, God, that you would help us get those out of our lives through your ministry, through the ministry of the church. Father, I pray if we've never just fully given ourselves over to you, to the farmer, I pray that we would do that today. Father, thank you for loving us and being patient with us. We long for that day of your coming. I pray that we would all just trust in Christ so we can be ready for that day. And we pray all of these things in Jesus' name. Amen.